This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit amazon.com/prime to learn more.
My guest today is Owen Good, here to talk about his review of NBA 2K15. I'm Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
I haven't done a lot of sports episodes at all. This is the first, but I think this one's going to be a real touchdown.
Yeah, NBA 2K15 is an intriguing game. Does a lot right. It's frustrating some people with some of the things it does wrong. I'm sure we'll get to that with the questions, but yes, this is one of the games, the sports video games, that this community looks forward to every year.
I want to start a little more holistically. I have never myself reviewed a sports game, so I'm curious, as someone who has reviewed a lot of these, what's your approach? How do you attack something like this?
I try to. I mean, you know, with an 82 game season in the NBA, you're not going to simulate the entire thing, but you do want to get in like a good look at a career picture. And fortunately, NBA 2K15 allows you to do that through my career, because you sort of burst into the league as this unknown, unsigned free agent, and you play like half of a season and try to play your way into a starting lineup, and then you enter free agency, you know, after that. So it gives you a pretty good, realistic, if you know, bite-sized picture of how everything goes in the business of being a player in the NBA. So I definitely wanted to do that and get all of that in, and I did. And then you want to go through and you know, play about a dozen games in the GM mode and simulate through to free agency, just to see and make sure that all the parts are working there. And then they have various online modes, and what you're doing there mostly, or at least what I am, because I'm terrible at online sports video games. I have to admit that up front. I think a lot of people are. Some real sharks out there. And usually what I'm doing is just making sure the connections, how reliable are they? And NBA 2K has had some trouble with that going back to 2011, and there's a lot of disappointment going on with that right now that we'll get into later. But you, in gameplay itself, and I know that's another big thing, I try not to get as granular as some other people do, because I'm trying to write for a wider audience. But I've played NBA 2K enough to know, to recognize some of the more subtle differences year to year, and they didn't change that much.
Do you start with a clean slate, or do you try to, or do you have to see it kind of through the lens of the previous games in the franchise?
They're iterative works, and so I feel like I have to judge them based on what they did, you know, 1 year, 2 years ago. I mean, there's something about this that does stand on the shoulders of its predecessor. Obviously, if they're trying to build this game in a single year, as we've seen with NBA Live, they would have a terrible time doing that. So I do feel like I need to go, okay, how does this compare to last year's game? Because that's always, for hardcore sports fans, they always want to know, what's going to make me buy it this year? Is it structurally different from last year? Is it better than last year? That's always the question being asked.
For people who aren't familiar, what sets the NBA 2K franchise apart? I mean, what's sort of the hallmarks of the series?
It is the polish and attention to detail, particularly within delivering the league as a lifestyle. And the NBA, of all the North American leagues, is the one that has the greatest lifestyle component, you know, through being a celebrity, through doing the post-game interviews and the clothes that you wear in them, and what takes place in the offseason. And NBA 2K does a really good job of serving that lifestyle experience in ways that FIFA, which obviously is a huge lifestyle type sport in Europe, doesn't. So there are lots of role-playing components, even within the general manager mode, where you're controlling an entire team and you're, you know, making trades or signing free agents. Even that you know, through the conversations that you have with other general managers. And then there's this fake social media feed, which everybody's getting in on now, it seems.
Yeah.
That sort of builds out this atmosphere of what's going on around you. And NBA 2K does that better, I think, than any other sports title. And another thing that it does better than any other sports title, I think, is its broadcast presentation, which isn't tied to, it doesn't replicate an actual network. But what they do with their own 2K sports style is just as good and just as informed by, you know, modern television production practices, and the commentary is just outstanding. And 2K Sports, even when it had, you know, in Major League Baseball and it wasn't such a great game, its commentary was still great.
You mentioned in your review that even if your timing is perfect with a specific shot, you can still miss it. It kind of adds an element of chance in there, which is realistic, but I feel like it's kind of might be kind of frustrating. Was that the case, or did you enjoy it?
I understand what you mean about being frustrating, and I think the point is you need to have feedback on that. And you need to know why, even when you hit that notch, the ball didn't go in. And oftentimes it's just as plain as what's in front of your face. You were guarded, you were in traffic, you had a guy sticking his hand in your mug. And, you know, I think what that does is, for people who really appreciate and enjoy basketball, it places a priority on creating an open shot, you know, which you can do either by calling set plays, or they also have and have had for a very long time, you know, a quick command to call for a screener, and then you rub your defender off on him and take the open shot. But it couldn't just be like I timed it perfectly, because then, as an example, NBA Elite, which we all know its reputation.
Boy, howdy, do we ever.
Yeah, 4 years ago, it actually was doing something like that. And you would have people who could hit 75-foot shots because they had gotten the timing down perfectly. And you definitely don't want that, and you certainly don't want that in something that has, you know, such a committed and hardcore online community. You would break the game there.
How have you mentioned a little bit about, like, if you attempt to play defense, it's how have, like, basketball video games handled defense typically up to this point, and how does NBA 2K15 approach it?
Well, it's a vexing thing, because the first thing
I'm playing, like, NBA Jam, I'm just trying to get the ball.
Yeah,
just let me get the ball back.
And I think, you know, I think designers have to begin with, we have to make the offense fun, because that's what everybody wants to do. And then how do we balance the defense off of that? But you do see a game that is, you know, more heavily leaning on offense, and how do you score, and is that, you know, entertaining? Because it's got to be, you know, a product with wide appeal. There are, again, you know, hardcore players who know this game and you know, who could play defense, like Michael Thompson of the, you know, Los Angeles Lakers. But that's sort of not where the money is. And so what you see a lot of is, you know, the players are really good, really dynamic, really balletic in their movements. But with NBA 2K15, the movement on defense is a little floaty. I think a lot of people would say this. And it's hard to make sort of minute adjustments to keep yourself in front of the guy. You can hold down the left trigger for a lockdown, you know, or go into like a deny defense, deny the pass. But you have to be set before you can do that. And you can make tiny, minute adjustments with the right stick. But more often than not, I am getting blown by, especially in My Park, which is sort of the online streetball mode where the games are 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. And that's, you know, you run a high-low game in 2-on-2 pretty easy. I get run off the ball, you know, very, very quickly in that. So it's a lot of people, you know, against the average guys in the NBA, you can guard them pretty well. And especially in my career, in which you're controlling only one person, defense is a little easier so long as you just home in on that guy and try to lock him down. But against superstars, you'll have a very hard time. Now, you always have.
How do you talk about some of the network problems. I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you've experienced, and then sort of as a reviewer, how you go about, like, diagnosing that, because it's always, like, tricky, especially with network stuff. Like, is it on my end? Did I do something wrong? Are the servers just not, like, up and ready yet? Or what was your sort of experience with the network stuff?
In the first week, I had a very poor experience, and I think a lot of people did too. It was very dispiriting to see my career, which again is an offline, you know, single player mode, have a required online check-in. And they do this, and I could get technical. I think I understand why they do this, but I think it's a poor choice because there were all sorts of problems in launch week where it wasn't able to download the file it needed to get your progress going, and you just couldn't play. Now, that has gotten better. I still think it's a bad decision, but it has gotten better. What has been more vexing is, as I said, My Park, which is this online cooperative competitive arena, which is very sophisticated and very ambitious. It's new this year, but or at least the way they apply it is new this year. But getting in there, playing games, having your results recorded, being booted, I mean, the game crashes and you go all the way back to the dashboard. These are very common problems. Loading times getting into the park also are very long. I think that's got something to do with the servers. And 2K knows its reputation in this regard. They've set up a web page to, you know, showing what the server status for all five platforms, because it's on four consoles and PC, and it gives some transparency to it, but you're still sort of realizing you're at the mercy of something else if you want to play, if you want to get access to, you know, what you bought. And a lot of people bought this for the multiplayer. I mean, you see these guys, you know, part of the lure of My Park is, you know, you have this very unique baller and he's dressed uniquely and he has certain move sets and he has certain clothes and there are, you know, badges are sort of the traits that you have that are unique to this guy that you earn, and he is a consistent avatar across three modes of play: My Park, My Career, so the guy you're playing with in your NBA career is going to go out on that street park, and then he just becomes a front office figure in My GM. And I think the unification of that is why they have this online check-in, because they make a lot of money in microtransactions. People, you know, want to go ahead and cut to the chase and you know, buy that bling and rather than grind through a career mode to earn the virtual currency for it. And it's just, you know, I think that's been where the real problem is. And they had big problems with this last year in NBA 2K14. I would say that one thing that they did that's very good is they took My GM, which is, again, the control the whole team career mode, and divorced it from this online check-in and a lot of the virtual currency requirements that it had last year, which people found so onerous. That's good, but this still is something that, and it's like we say it every year, you know, what's going on with the NBA 2K servers? And we're now 3 weeks in and people are still having problems. I didn't last night. I got into My Park. I played a game and I was thinking, well, have I been too hard on this? And that's exactly what you were saying when you introduced the question. It's like, how do you really gauge, you know, the severity of the problems? But when you're seeing chatter online this consistent, and when you're hearing people even say that they have lost their virtual currency balances, yeah, which is totally unacceptable. I mean, there was a glitch in the first week in which your player wasn't accessible. When you reloaded the file, he had a new name and a new face. And you saw that video where I was trying to scan my face.
Yeah, that would be heartbreaking.
Yeah, if I came back and I'd lost my face and I had to do that all over again, I'd be furious. Now they fixed that, but they still got other problems.
What that face scan thing kind of blew up a little bit. Was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah,
played the video and stuff like that. What is your takeaway from that? Were you doing something wrong, or did you eventually get it figured out, or what's the deal?
You know, it's so frustrating. It's like I don't know what I am doing wrong. I'm doing exactly what this thing is telling me. And I've got people saying, you need to move your face closer, you need to completely fill the square. Well, why is the square, you know, lighting up green and trying to initiate the scan three times? Well, it's because you've got a brick background behind you. You need to hold a sheet of white paper under your face. There's some other nonsense like that. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, no, this isn't my problem. They have developed an application that requires an optimal set of circumstances to work properly, and it's not what is taking place in my living room, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to move my console into a photo studio just to get this thing right.
That's the thing a lot of people, I think, don't remember about reviews, is like a lot of times you're doing them in a vacuum. So like, if the tools you need to do a thing aren't being provided to you by the game, that's still like a completely valid experience. That is what happened to you. I mean, you can't, if it requires you going online to like search for more information, yeah, you know, that's a step farther than a lot of people are willing to go.
Yeah, I mean, we had this problem. I mean, THQ's UFC series, you needed advanced networking to make that thing, you know, work right in 2010. And I was thinking, you know, that's not why I bought this game, man. I would have bought it on PC if I did. Anyway.
Speaking about it on PC, this is a multi-platform game. It's like a lot of sports games, you know, they just blast it out to everything. Does it, what console did you play it on? And like, did it feel next gen?
Yes.
You played it on an Xbox One or PS4?
Yeah, I played it on a PlayStation 4. And, you know, obviously, you know, the thing that's going to most exemplify its next generation capabilities is the visuals. And they have done that so well. They've added in, you know, even more players this year with, you know, head scan technology. But it's not just that. You know, a lot of the problem in basketball games has been they want to capture that sweaty look, for lack of a better, right?
Sweat physics.
But it make but it makes them look plasticky. And in NBA 2K15, I mean, you actually see the individual sweat trails in the close-up replays, and they look authentic. And you know, they've always done well with their visuals. They just, you know, again, you know, layer on the polish, add more texture. The uniforms have had problems in the past with how they hang or how they sort of billow, kind of over the, not in a natural way. You know, things flow a lot, you know, more naturally now, and that's important. You don't necessarily see it, you know, in real time when you're going to the basket, but when you're putting together that highlight to share on Facebook or wherever, yeah, it looks a lot better when it looks photorealistic in real life.
How big of a role does that virtual currency play in the game? How much do you need to spend to have fun? Can you have fun without, you know, spending a dime additionally after buying the game? How does it fit in?
I will give you an honest answer. I spent $10 of my own money to get, I think you buy 35,000 VC with that. And I did that because I was not accruing VC at a fast enough rate in my career. Again, so that's the controlling one player. I was not accruing VC at a fast enough rate. All I wanted to do was play that mode. You'll get VC in all these other modes, but I didn't want to grind through other things first. I wanted to play this out because it was a very compelling story to me. You get a 10-day contract, and then if you're good, you get another 10-day contract, and then if you're good, you get signed by the team. And then, you know, you sort of play the remainder of the season, and I wanted to get to the end of that. We were in a fight for the playoffs, but I also felt like my career player wasn't powered enough, not necessarily to make the starting lineup. You know, that's sort of, you can buy your way into that. It just boosts his ratings. But I just felt like for the opportunities he was getting on the floor, I wasn't doing enough with them, and I needed to have some better skills packages for that. So yeah, I spent $10. I think it's fair to say that you, if you're only playing one mode in this, you're not going to see the kind of VC accrual that that's going to turn your guy into a stud in a short or even reasonable amount of time.
It seems like with a lot of sports games, rating is almost like unnecessary. It really comes down to a binary question, right? I mean, do I get this one or do I skip this one? Is that question one? Is that an accurate summation? And two, what's the answer for NBA 2K15?
Yes, it is an accurate summation. I mean, and I think the answer is yes, despite the online problems. I mean, as I say in the review, when fundamentally this is a best in class sports video game, and if not for some of these strange design choices at the edges that really interfere with your enjoyment, you know, whether that would be, you know, the problems online or the head scan. Or it's even down to, there's something in the main menu called 2K TV, which I and a lot of people just find incredibly annoying. I mean, it's an attempt to deliver a little bit of extra content, and there's a, you know, it's basically like a vidcast format, and they talk to, you know, current pros and everything, and they give tips about playing the game, but it's always playing when you go back to the main menu, and it drives me crazy. This is. If you just look at the game that is offered and all the role-playing stuff and the structure and the polish on that, it's the sports video game of the year. If it's the other stuff that's getting in the way of it currently that really gives me pause on saying, you know, yeah, this is, you know, home run, knock it out of the park. I think people still, if they are basketball fans, this is basically the only game for them to get. I mean, its controls are a lot more complicated and granular than NBA Live's, but NBA Live also doesn't do half of the things or half as well as NBA 2K15. So you have to learn a lot, and your RAM fills up really quickly when you're trying to go, okay, how do I hesitate to cross over to step back jumper, you know, while everybody else is running around on the floor in front of you. So I've really rambled here, and I'm sorry, but yeah, it is binary. You know, do I skip it this year? Do I get it this year? I think you have to get it this year, but there is a big caveat that there are just, you know, and it's always been that way with 2K. They have a rough launch, then they sort it all out, it stabilizes, and the grumbling dies down.
So is it a slam dunk? Is that what you're saying?
It is a George Gervin finger roll.
I don't know what that means. Oh, yep. Good. Thank you for joining me on the program. Thanks to you for listening. If you enjoyed the program, you could share it with a friend. Gosh, we sure appreciate that. And we'd appreciate your ratings or reviews or subscriptions on iTunes if you get a second to do that. We got an email address, qualitycontrol@polygon.com. If you had a question about a review you saw on Polygon that you'd like me to ask our reviewer or any other reviewer, I'm more than happy to do so. Until next time, for Owen Good, I'm Justin McElroy. Thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.